Hello, and welcome back to another Dreary fanfiction reading. Today I'm going to be reading chapters 28 through 30 of Seven Steps by Dorothy Ann on Archive of Our Own, or alternatively, Dorothy Ann Dreary on Wattpad. If you haven't seen the previous episodes, I highly recommend you do so, that way you're all caught up with the story before you listen to it. Or this part, at least. And now, without further ado, please enjoy. Chapter 28. Kipper led Draco and Harry to a dining room that they hadn't used since forever, as far as Draco could remember. It was the largest dining room in the finished East Wing, but Draco only remembered it as a place to be wandered in and out of when he was avoiding his lessons. The white plaster walls had been painted a soft mossy green, and the marble tiles were muted by a large rug Draco had never seen before. Some of the old paintings had even been hung back up around the walls. Paintings of landscapes, fields, and forests moved by wind and traversed by animals in silence. Mother had only painted and finished a few of the renovated rooms in her drive to smother all the dark magic in the house, and Draco wondered why she had gone to the trouble for such a pointless place. Draco knew she loved throwing dinner parties, but there weren't going to be any more dinner parties. Mother stood up from the table and came to greet them. "Good evening, Draco, Mr. Potter." She kissed the air beside Harry's cheek before hugging Draco. "I'm pleased you weren't held up too long." "I'm sorry we kept you waiting," Draco said. He looked his mother over, with her lilac silk dress robes and curled hair. "You look lovely." Mother smiled. "I wanted tonight to be special. Come, let's sit." She waved them to the end of the table where three plates had been laid, looking small and out of place on the long grand table. Mother sat at the head of the table with an empty seat on either side. Draco sat across from Harry as dinner appeared, their soup bowls filling in front of them as the rest of the dishes appeared in the space between, a roast in the center of it all. It was a quite bit more than three or four courses, but after the morning's breakfast, Draco wasn't surprised. Mother sighed. "Suppy is being overexcitable again." "She'll calm down once Harry's gone," Draco said. Harry was looking stiff as a board with nerves, so Draco kicked him. Harry jumped and glared at him. Mother cleared her throat before Harry could retaliate. Draco grinned smugly as Mother asked Harry, "How is school going for you, Mr. Potter?"
"It's fine. I still feel like I'm catching up with everyone," Harry said.
Draco picked up a soup spoon, nudging Harry under the table to copy him, and said,
"The real work of revision starts when we get back."
"Have you decided which subjects you're going to focus on?" Mother asked, glancing at both of them.
"Potions, of course," Draco said. "Runes and arithmetic are also very strong subjects for me. I've recently decided I'd like O's in herbology and history as well."
"What about charms and transfiguration?" Mother asked, her brow creasing faintly in concern. Draco finished around his soup for more barley.
"I think I'd be fine having an A or E in those subjects. They're useful, but not as important to me."
"I see," Mother said, and asked Harry, "What about you, Mr. Potter?"
Harry nearly dropped a spoon. "Could, you call me Harry? Mr. Potter is a bit..."
"Harry, then."
Harry took a deep breath. "Well, I don't know if I'll try out for the Aurors after school, but I figured I'd just do my best to get O's on all the required subjects just in case."
"That's very sensible," Mother said. She tapped her soup bowl with her wand, sending it back to the kitchen, and tapped the plate beneath it to fill it with the next course.
"How has school been for the returning Slytherin class?"
Draco protested. "I already told you." Mother held up her hand.
"I know what you've told me, Draco. I'd like to know how it looks from a more outside perspective."
Harry hesitated and looked at Draco. Draco shrugged, feeling helpless. He wished he could avoid the conversation altogether. His mother didn't need to be worrying about these things.
Harry stabbed a piece of roasted broccoli.
There's some name-calling, but McGonagall was pretty stern about there being no bullying, so they're just ignored mostly."
"I see," Mother said. "I told you it was fine. Everything's fine," Draco said.
"I'm going to worry, Draco. I'm afraid that's just part of being a mother," Mother said and took a sip of wine.
When she sat her glass down, the sound seemed too loud. They ate and the silence lingered. Harry was too nervous to speak, and Draco was too worried to do anything other than repeatedly tell himself that everything would be fine. And Mother seemed to be deep with thought, fidgeting with her glass, a furrow between her brows. It seemed like years before she spoke again. "There's something I wish to say to you, Harry." Mother picked up her wine, and Draco could see the liquid within trembling from her hand. "I wanted to apologize for my involvement in..." Harry froze. "In what happened at the ministry in your fifth year. Bella told me children wouldn't be involved, that they just needed you to touch a prophecy, nothing more." Mother pressed her lips together, biting her bottom lip. "I promised myself I wouldn't be involved after that. I wanted to stay neutral." "Foolish," she said softly and took a sip of wine. Harry looked like he wanted to crawl under the table, and Draco would have loved to join him. Unfortunately, they weren't 4 years old. "Mother," Draco tried, "perhaps this isn't the time." "This is important, Draco," Mother said firmly. "It could be important at an entirely different time, say, in 6 months," Draco said. Mother gave him a warning look, and Draco settled back into a sulk. She went on, "I wish it could have been different. I wish everything could have been different." Harry was looking mildly ill and had gone from eating his roast to slowly trying to cover it over with his mashed potatoes. Draco was fairly certain that kicking Harry again would not be the right solution, so he eased his sole off instead and blindingly tried to find Harry's foot under the table, pressing his toe on the top of an ugly, squishy trainer. Harry jumped slightly, looking up at Draco from the mess of his plate. Draco slid his foot up Harry's calf a bit until he couldn't reach much further, the table being too wide and formal. Besides which, Draco was fairly certain he knew Harry well enough now to know that even if he could slide his foot up Harry's inseam, it would not be welcome in their current situation. Not that Draco was particularly interested in dying of shame if his mother were to catch him doing that sort of thing. Mother straightened in her chair, firmly setting her wine down. "I'm deeply sorry for any and all actions I took against you that caused you any suffering in any way, Harry, and while I don't expect you to forgive me, I dearly hope you will not hold any ill will towards Draco for what I have done." Draco felt himself start to flush. "He wouldn't do that, Mother. It's fine. I'm not going to, Harry said at the same time, their words stumbling together into an incompressible mess. Mother held up a hand, and they both went quiet. She said, "I never want to be in the way of my son's happiness in any way ever again. He deserves to be happy." Draco slumped down in his chair, properly blushing and trying not to look at Harry, who also looked completely out of sorts. He could reach further with his foot, though, so Draco shifted his foot higher, squeezing his toes around a rather knobbly knee. Draco had always suspected Harry had knobbly knees. He resolved to tease him about them later. Harry blinked and relaxed slightly, slipping a hand under the table to squeeze Draco's foot. "It's all right, really," Harry said. "I'm not going to..." His voice faded under Mother's gaze, which was a shifting mix of confusion, irritation, and concern. Draco started. He rarely saw such a blatant show of emotions on his mother's face. "Draco," Mother said, turning to him. "Sit up straight. Does Hogwarts still not provide any classes in etiquette?" "No, I shan't, and no, they don't," Draco said. The corner of Mother's eye twitched, but her concern had won out, and she turned back to Harry. "Harry, I'm going to tell you this as you will need it with your fame and regular exposure to the press." Harry slid a little further down in his own chair, looking grim and resigned to an unwelcome fate. There are several ways one can formally deal with an apology. On the most basic level, you have either to accept or decline the apology. Mother cleared her throat, her tone shifting as she launched into her lesson. "So, I accept your apology, or I do not accept your apology. Things are usually far more complicated than that, so you might also add forgiveness, such as, 'I accept your apology, but I do not forgive you.'" She hesitated.
Forgiveness and apologies do not always go together, and you shouldn't feel like they have to. Draco wanted to groan. He felt all of 6 years old again, with his mother giving him etiquette lessons. The worst part of it being that before those lessons, Mother had been perfect and wonderful in every way, only to turn around and join the mass of horrid tutors always lecturing him and telling him to sit still and focus. But Harry had relaxed somewhat and was tracing his fingers over Draco's foot as he listened, making Draco shiver. Mother said, "An apology can be as complicated as a contract. As witches and wizards, anything that requires an apology often forms a debt, and forgiving someone for the sake of politeness can free them from their obligation. Even small debts can be useful." Draco saw the expression on Harry's face and wiggled his toes. "You don't have to use them to blackmail people like my father did. You can do good with them. Sway conservatives to vote, get a committee to look at a proposal, that sort of thing." "Draco," Mother said, "please don't speak about your father in that way." Draco sighed and looked away. Mother was quiet for a few seconds before continuing. "Sometimes you might be in public or company, and someone might apologize that you neither want to accept nor forgive. In such a case, you might want to say something like, 'Thank you for your apology,' or 'I appreciate your apology.' That way, you both save face without giving ground. These are just the basics, of course, and not necessarily appropriate for a more personal relationship." Draco nudged Harry, and when he looked up, Draco nodded towards his mother with a, "Go on, then." Harry sat up. He took a deep breath. "I accept your apology, and I forgive you, and thank you for apologizing. You didn't have to." "You are very kind," Mother said, and smiled. It was a bit forced, but she seemed lighter as well. She clapped her hands. "Let's have something sweet then, shall we?" Dinner was cleared with a few taps of her wand and replaced with large trays of different tarts, each small enough to be eaten in a few bites. Harry filled his plate with one of everything. Draco plucked a tart off the tray at random, breaking it in half over his plate and eating it with his hands, partially to annoy his mother and partially because he was tired and didn't care. Mother sighed, placing three tarts on her plate and taking up her knife and fork to cut them into bite-sized pieces. "I wish I'd talked with you sooner. I didn't realize how incredibly lacking your education was in regards to etiquette." Harry said, "I mean, it's not really the sort of thing you need most of the time. Ministry balls, maybe." Mother stared at him uncomprehendingly and went on. "Most people are not Harry Potter. Regardless of your feelings on the matter, you killed the Dark Lord, twice, in fact, and saved the lives of many people in the process. You are going to receive public attention from all sides, both good and bad, for the rest of your life." Harry grimaced. "Knowing how to deal with the press, to placate and disseminate information, give interviews and press conferences," Mother listed, looking more and more unsettled as she went on. "And if you're serious about being with Draco, you need to be able to use the press to shield him as much as possible, or they will take the initiative to slander him." "I'm not really good at talking to reporters," Harry floundered. Mother pressed a hand over her mouth as she sat back. "I want Draco to be happy," she said quietly, almost to herself. "But..." She fixed Harry with her gaze. "Harry, please keep your relationship with Draco a secret now. At least until you've both graduated. It's too dangerous at Hogwarts, and Draco has no one to protect him." "I can protect him. He can protect himself," Harry said. "Don't be naive," Mother said, her tone surprisingly gentle. "You can't be by his side all the time, and while Draco is more than competent, even he has to let his guard down, to turn his back, even if it's just to sleep." Harry frowned and squeezed Draco's foot. "Why aren't you saying anything?" Draco shrugged because it was true. Mother said, "I'll owl you with more advice." "You don't have to do that," Harry protested. "I can't make you read it," Mother went on, as if Harry hadn't spoke. "I hope you will consider what I write anyway. It might be of use to you." Harry opened his mouth again to protest and slowly wilted in the face of Mother's expression. Thank you. That's very kind.
You're welcome, Mother said primly, eating a small piece of tart, looking regal as a duchess.
Draco broke another tart in half, crumbs tumbling across his plate and catching in his jumper as he ate it. Mother sighed and deliberately didn't look at him, which was fine because he knew she was deliberately not looking and because Harry was biting his lips to keep from laughing.
How have your holidays been, Harry? Mother asked.
Harry took a second to compose himself before answering.
Good. I stayed at the Weasleys. They've always been very good to me.
Mother nodded.
They are remarkable people.
Draco's mouth fell open.
Do pass on my best wishes to them the next time you see them, Mother said as she carefully set her silverware down and stood.
I'm going to retire for the evening. Draco jumped to his feet, nearly tripping over his chair to hug her before she left.
I'll see you off in the morning, Mother said after a tight embrace. Make sure you get to bed at a decent time.
Draco nodded. I'll try. Good night.
Mother smiled faintly before sweeping out the door with a final good night to the both of them.
Did my mother really just say that? Draco asked as soon as he couldn't hear his mother's footsteps.
A good word for the Weasleys?
Pretty sure she did, Harry said.
Draco pulled on his shoe and sat on the table, picking up another tart. Harry helped himself to all the remaining treacle tarts.
Is your mum really going to owl me?
Like entire essays, Draco said.
Really?
Draco absently brushed crumbs off his fingers. Mother is very keen on etiquette and the proper way of doing things. Her own upbringing was quite militant about it. Harry said, The Black strove Sirius and Andromeda away, so that's not too surprising.
And produced Bellatrix, Draco said with a faint shudder. I think Mother was the closest they ever got to what they wanted out of their children and ruined the rest.
Sirius and Andy weren't ruined, Harry said. According to their parents' pureblood expectations, they were.
I suppose, Harry said. They're quite an improvement as far as I'm concerned.
Draco helped himself to one last tart.
Have you ever met Andromeda? Harry asked.
Draco shook his head.
She's your aunt, Harry said.
There were social positions to consider, Draco said. That's largely why pureblood families look down on the Weasleys, you know, because they've never cared about social position. They like to interact with the rabble.
Harry grinned faintly.
I quite like the rabble.
You are the rabble, Draco said.
Harry snorted. He poked at a half-eaten tart on his plate.
But would you meet with her now? He asked.
I'm entirely certain Andromeda Tonks wouldn't want anything to do with me, Draco said.
You're not giving her enough credit, Harry said, flicking the tart across his plate.
Draco rolled his eyes. I'm giving her all the credit in the world. Mother and I are beneath her now and not worth the trouble.
Harry stood up and walked around the table, stopping in front of Draco.
You're the only family she has left. Family is worth the trouble.
Sometimes, Draco said.
He hooked his fingers in Harry's belt loops and pulled him closer.
Harry let himself be pulled, looking embarrassed.
Why are you so ridiculous? He asked in exasperation.
Why are you so shy? Draco asked.
I'm working on it.
Harry reached out, brushing his thumb against Draco's cheek and then licking it.
Blackberry.
Draco pulled his bottom lip through his teeth and wrapped his legs around the back of Harry's thighs.
You're covered in crumbs, Harry said.
Shut up.
Do you always make such a mess? Harry asked.
Draco glared at him.
You know I don't.
Harry grinned faintly, leaning down and pressing a soft kiss to Draco's mouth, pulling back and resting his forehead against Draco's with a long, drawn-out sigh. Draco reached up, cupping Harry's cheeks and feeling his jaw unclench under Draco's fingertips. He slid his hands through thick black hair, over Harry's neck, the muscles taut, and down over shoulders tensed as tight as a knot of wood.
He knew what he would like to do when things became too much. Study, work, keep too busy to think until the anxiety passed. He didn't know what Harry would...
"Do you want to go flying?" Draco asked.
Harry leaned back.
"It's the middle of the night."
7:30, Draco said.
"Dark and cold," Harry said.
"We're wizards, Numpty."
"Still..."
"Luna said you liked to fly," Draco said.
"If you wanted to."
Harry took off his glasses and slowly wiped them off with the bottom of his jumper. When he put them back on, he nodded.
"I do."
Chapter 29. Draco collected his warmest coat and Harry's jacket before leading Harry out to the broom shed on the edge of the main lawn. He gave Harry his Nimbus, and Harry immediately swung his leg over.
"Wait," Draco said, taking out his wand and charming a small blue-white Lumos on the end of the broomstick. "So we don't run into one another."
"Someone could see us," Harry said. Draco pulled up the hood on his cloak.
"One, we're too far from the village for them to see anything. Two, I don't care. Stories of will-o'-wisps had to come from somewhere."
"Or aliens," Harry said.
"Aliens? As in people from foreign lands?" Draco asked.
"From space," Harry said, pointing up with a smirk little grin. Draco looked at the sky, mostly obscured by clouds.
"You're joking."
But when he looked back down, Harry had already taken off. Draco grumbled under his breath as he looked back into the shed and grabbed a broom at random and charmed another light to the end. He flew up slowly, keeping his warm, fluffy cloak pulled tightly around himself as he rose, not particularly interested in being cold. He watched the distant speck of Harry's light as he flew low and fast, weaving around the outbuildings and shrubbery with an ease that Draco had always envied but would never admit. Draco flew higher until he could see past the faint shadow of every rolling hill outlined by glimpses of moonlight through the clouds, to the dipping line of a black horizon that he knew if he followed would take him to the sea. Harry rounded the manor like a shot and spiraled up and up until he flattened out and swirled around right in front of Draco. His hair had been swept back by the wind and fell back around his eyes as soon as he slowed, and Draco laughed as Harry tried to push it back out of his eyes.
"You wouldn't think it was so funny if it was your hair," Harry said.
Draco shuddered in horror at the thought. Harry grinned, flying a bit closer.
"Want a race?"
"With you on my fastest broom and me on one about 5 years older and 10 times slower? Yes, that sounds fair," Draco said.
"What, can't beat me?"
Harry teased.
"That's not what I said," Draco said.
Harry peered at him. "Since when do you pass up a competition?"
"Since it's bloody cold out and my cloak is not suited to racing and keeping me warm at the same time," Draco said.
"Want a trade?" Harry offered, plucking at his ugly puffy muggle jacket.
"No," Draco said flatly.
Harry grinned.
"I bet it would look great on you."
"The only thing that would look great on is a bonfire," Draco said. Harry studied him thoughtfully.
"You're doing this for me, aren't you? You don't have to. You could go back inside. I won't be long."
"I ate far too many sweets. A bit of fresh air is just what I needed," Draco said with a flush of embarrassment.
Harry nodded.
"Yeah, I think I'm gonna do another lap."
"Go on then," Draco waved him off.
He watched Harry do a Wronski feint down towards the dark grounds, doing a corkscrew at the same time as if it weren't dangerous enough to begin with. After a while, and realizing Harry was going to do more than just one lap, Draco straightened his back and pried one hand off the broom to cast a warming charm on himself in addition to the ones embedded in the cloak. Just as he thought he should have taken Harry up on his offer to go back inside, the Barmy-Git flew back up to him. Harry drifted to his side so they nearly bumped shoulders. His voice came out just above a whisper.
"I just want to be normal for once in my life."
"You're exceedingly normal," Draco said. "You're so average it makes me ill." Harry didn't laugh. He shifted on his broom, looking into the distance rather than at Draco.
"I just thought it would be easier," What would be easier? Draco asked. School, life, this, Harry said.
Draco took a deep breath.
I mean, it's not bad, just...
How is this not easier than a war? Draco asked.
I've had a lot more experience with war, Harry said.
Draco gripped the edge of his cloak. Harry looked down at his hands. They sat, breathing out puffs of misty white air.
Hand, Draco said, holding out his hand.
Harry's brow furrowed in confusion as he let go of his broom and let Draco take his hand, holding it a bit too tightly as they drifted together.
What? Harry asked.
What? Draco said, narrowing his eyes at Harry.
I'm quite obviously comforting you because your stupid, average, boring life is too exciting for you.
Harry blinked at him.
I mean, I understand, but we all have to figure out how to live. No one said it would be fun, Draco said. He added, feeling a bit annoyed.
It's still massively better than a war. I was there. I remember. Normal life doesn't give you nightmares like that.
You were there, huh? Harry said, his tone wavering between serious and not.
Draco frowned slightly to himself.
I might have missed a bit of the beginning.
Just a bit. I was 11, Harry said.
The thing that got you all the points at the end of the year, Draco said.
Harry nodded. Professor Quirrell was possessed by Voldemort. I killed him with my bare hands.
Draco squeezed Harry's hand so hard he winced, and Draco had to force himself to loosen his grip.
What? He breathed. My mum's love. It protected me from Voldemort when I was a baby, so touching Quirrell hurt him. He was already weak from being possessed. Honestly, I don't remember most of it. Probably for the best, really, Harry said flatly. And then Dumbledore gave us enough points to win the House Cup. At the time, that seemed brilliant. Now it feels a bit more like giving a treat to a dog for performing well, to make sure I wouldn't run when the time came.
Draco pulled Harry closer, shoulder to hip to knee. They shared a line of warmth between them. He didn't know what to say, and anything he did say would probably be wrong, so he just stayed close and hoped it was enough.
Harry looked up. It's starting to snow.
Draco could just make out the tiny flakes as they landed on his cloak. The snow was too light to do more than join the frost on the winter brown lawns and would melt as the sun drew up to the sky.
You like the snow, right? Harry asked.
I do, Draco said. He pulled his hood off. I had a dream like this once, you know, although it was spring and at Hogwarts and we were playing a Seekers game.
Then how is it like this at all? Harry asked.
Draco squeezed Harry's hand. This part was the same. That's the important part. It wouldn't be hard to make the rest true. We could have a Seekers game when we get back to school.
Still wouldn't be spring, Harry said.
Enjoying being contrary just because you can?
Yes, Harry said, starting to smile.
Draco rolled his eyes.
Well, we could have Seekers games all the way to spring on account of it being fun, you dullard.
That would be brilliant, Harry said.
I know, I thought of it, Draco said.
Harry snickered.
Prat.
Git, Draco returned fondly. The snow was catching in Harry's hair, delicately balancing on the dark strands like tiny pearls of starlight, and Draco wasn't sure he had ever seen something quite so beautiful before.
The snow in your hair looks like stars, he murmured.
Harry's breath hitched, and he lifted their joined hands, and kissing the back of Draco's hand, he said, Let's go back inside. Harry unzipped his jacket, shaking it off as he closed the door to Draco's room behind them. He reached for the clasps of Draco's cloak. Draco grabbed Harry's hands.
Wait, he said breathlessly.
Harry stumbled, his back hitting the door with a thump.
Slow down, Draco laughed.
Harry grinned, his hands finally managing to open the delicate metal clasp and let the cloak fall to the ground. He wound his fingers into the gray weave of Draco's jumper to pull him close and kissed him, hard, slipping his tongue into Draco's mouth at his gasp.
Draco slid his hands down Harry's chest, under the hem of his shirt and over his skin. He drew his fingers down Harry's back, the muscles twitching under his touch, tracing the line of his hips into the trail of coarse hair sitting at his navel and leading down and down. Harry moaned, his hips bucking as Draco's hand slid from skin to jeans, cupping his hard cock through the rough fabric. "Is this okay?" Draco asked, barely a whisper, kissing Harry's jaw. Harry nodded frantically. "Yeah, don't stop." Draco squeezed and Harry gasped, his hand starting to shake against Draco's collarbone. Draco pulled the button of Harry's jeans open and the zipper slid down as his hand pushed into Harry's boxers, tracing the head and shaft with his fingertips before he wrapped his hand around Harry's cock, giving a few slow, careful pulls, trying to memorize the moment, what he felt, how Harry gasped and moved under him. Draco shoved Harry's jeans down further so he could free his cock, ignoring Harry's whimper of complaint when he let go. He brought his hand up to his mouth, dragging his tongue from palm to fingertips, tasting a hint of Harry's skin and pre-cum, before taking his cock in hand again and began moving, swiping his thumb over the head with every upstroke. Draco was so hard it took all of the little willpower he had left not to rut against Harry's leg just to find release. He wanted more. Draco took Harry's hand, pulling it down and pressing it against the straining fabric of his trousers. "Harry," Draco urged breathlessly. Draco kissed Harry, trying not to smile as Harry fumbled with Draco's fly, but he just grinned back, even as he nervously pushed Draco's pants down. Harry hesitated. Draco didn't. He stepped closer, shuddering as Harry finally touched him. Draco stole an awkward kiss amongst their fumbling as they found something like a rhythm and began moving together. Sweat began to bead on Draco's forehead. Harry's every breath sounded like a gasp, but so did Draco's. He watched Harry, transfixed, and when their eyes met, they kissed and were unwilling to pull away. There were a thousand things Draco wanted to say, about how beautiful and wonderful Harry was, how good he felt and how good he made Draco feel, and how much he cared about him and wanted to stay with him and to just be enough to last forever and I love you. And Draco said nothing. He bit the words down on the tip of his tongue, because they were too much and he never wanted to be too much if it meant losing this. And Harry. Harry said Draco's name like a whispered prayer. Draco watched Harry's forehead furrow, his eyelashes flutter closed. Harry arched into Draco with a groan, his breathing and hands stuttering as he came. Harry collapsed back against the door, letting his eyes close as his breathing calmed. Draco pushed Harry's slack hand away, stroking himself roughly with his own, slick with Harry's cum. "Wait, I..." Harry pulling Draco against him and pushing his hand away. Let me do it," he said faintly. Draco whimpered and bit his lip, grabbing Harry's shirt and bracing his other hand against the door. Harry twisted his wrist with every stroke. "Is this?" Draco nodded, dropping his head onto Harry's shoulder. Harry kissed his neck and Draco shuddered as the heat grew. "I'm close," Draco said breathlessly, and in a matter of moments groaned as he came, clinging even closer to Harry through the wave of pleasure. Draco lifted his head and they kissed, soft and languid. Harry reached into his pocket, taking out his wand and flicking a cleaning charm over them. The sweat and mess might be gone, but his hair and clothes were still a disaster. Draco sighed. "I want a shower." "I'll have one in the morning, I think," Harry said. "I was thinking we could shower together," Draco said. "Oh." Draco took a step back, his trousers taking the opportunity to fall to the ground. He pushed his pants off as well, kicking the lot behind him. Draco pulled his jumper down, though it only covered half his bum, trying not to feel self-conscious with the way Harry was looking at him. "Join me?" Draco asked. Harry nodded, offering no resistance as Draco grabbed his sleeve and pulled him into the bathroom. Draco turned on the water and adjusted the heat of the water, pulling off his shirt and stepping into the shower. He ducked his head under the spray, pushing his fingers through his hair with a sigh.
"Are you coming?"
Draco asked, looking back to where Harry was still frozen in place.
Draco raised an eyebrow.
"Harry?" Harry twitched and quickly tried to drag his jumper off, nearly losing his glasses, taking a second to cast water-repelling and defogging charms before trying to put them back on while pushing his jeans off at the same time. He tripped, barely catching himself on the sink counter, and took a little more care removing the rest of his clothes. Harry pushed his hand through his hair ruefully and stepped inside the shower. Draco straightened Harry's glasses as he fought down a smile.
"Just laugh. I know I look ridiculous," Harry said.
Harry sighed and tried to push his damp hair back, but it seemed to be curling even more than usual, which only helped his agenda of being a menace to society. He took Draco's arm, stepping around him and into the spray, letting the water soak into his hair. Draco reached out, spreading his hands over Harry's back. Harry jumped slightly.
"What are you doing?"
"Touching you," Draco said absently, running his hands down the tan skin. He had a lot of scars, a few old and faded, and some new and sharp. Draco drew his thumb along the slashing scar over Harry's ribs. They were all so starkly pale against Harry's darker skin.
"Draco!"
Draco cupped Harry's ass in both hands. Harry spun back around. "You... really, I..."
"The thing about Seekers," Draco said, stepping closer and slipping his hands around Harry's waist and slowly sliding them further back and down to grab his bum again.
"They spend so much time racing around, flexing their thighs and hips and ass. They really do have the finest..." Harry grabbed Draco's ass and squeezed, smirking in delight when Draco let out an undignified yelp.
"You know, I think you might be right, Draco."
Draco glared at him. Harry kissed the pout from his lips and laughed. Draco reached up and touched and tugged at Harry's hair.
"You didn't use the conditioner this morning, did you?"
"Conditioner's kind of pointless, isn't it?"
Draco rolled his eyes.
"Your hair would be a lot more manageable if you did." He grabbed his shampoo and slowly began working it into a lather in Harry's hair, massaging it into his scalp and getting a delightfully indecent moan for his effort. Draco bit his lip, watching a line of soapy bubbles slide down Harry's neck and down onto his chest.
"Merlin, that's amazing," Harry muttered, his eyes closed.
Draco let the shampoo rinse out and grabbed his conditioner.
"Switch with me."
Harry swapped around Draco and out of the direct spray so Harry could work the conditioner in. "Now let it sit for at least 3 minutes before rinsing. It's entirely worth the effort." "And if I didn't use the conditioner, I would already be done," Harry said.
"Wash the rest of yourself? Have a wank? There's plenty to do," Draco said.
"No wonder you took so long this morning," Harry said.
"No wonder you didn't," Draco said and gave Harry a look.
"Who doesn't wank in the shower?" Harry grabbed the shampoo and poured a dollop directly onto Draco's head.
"Hey! The showers aren't, very private," Harry said, working the shampoo up into a lather, his hands rough but careful.
"I just got used to doing it in my bed with the curtains pulled and a few silencing charms."
"A few?"
"The idea of any of the lads overhearing me?" Harry shook his head.
"No, just no way."
Draco grimaced and nodded.
"If Blaze had ever found something like that out, he would have never let me live it down," Draco said.
"Where did Sabini end up anyway? He wasn't in the war."
"France or maybe Italy. He was rather vague and in a hurry when I saw him last," Draco said, closing his eyes.
"Theo went to America to finish his schooling because they won't care about his father there, and Gregory is doing community service for a commuted sentence."
Harry was quiet.
Draco leaned his head back to rinse his hair and wipe the water from his eyes. Harry was staring at Draco's chest. He reached out and traced a line nearly as pale as Draco's skin, only the faint pink hue to the scars making them visible.
"I thought Snape said Didney would..."
Harry's brow furrowed.
"Weren't there a lot more than this? I remember it. It was horrible."
Tactful as always, Draco said, taking Harry's hand and pouring conditioner in the palm and then guiding Harry's frozen hand to his head.
There were. I asked Severus to leave those ones.
Why? Harry asked, looking deeply upset, his fingers slowly combing the conditioner into Draco's hair.
Draco sighed.
For blackmail purposes.
Harry froze.
What?
I asked Severus to leave some as evidence to blackmail you, Draco said peevishly. I didn't have time or means or will to follow through. It was just childish impulse.
A slow smile of utter disbelief spread across Harry's face, and he let out a bark of laughter.
Of course you did.
Oh, fuck off, Draco muttered. Harry slid his hand down Draco's chest again, his fingers slippery with conditioner.
He shook his head. I don't know what the spell did, or why I cast it. It was so stupid. I was stupid.
You won't hear me argue that particular point, Draco said.
Still.
I nearly crucioed you, Draco said. You were the last person in the world I ever wanted to see me crying. Of all the people that had to walk into that bathroom, you have the worst timing.
It was more like I had been following you, Harry said, a touch guilty.
Draco's eyes widened as realization dawned.
That fucking map!
Yeah, Harry said, chagrined.
Draco shook his head.
Why don't you hold it against me? Why are you so okay about what I did? Harry asked.
You have to answer the same question, Draco said. I'm not going to say unless you do as well.
Okay, Harry nodded. Draco took a deep breath, looking down at the water draining at their feet, and tried to shift the subject. Really, we ought to be having an entirely different sort of conversation with us being naked and wet.
Draco.
Fine, Draco muttered, his shoulders slumping slightly. I suppose it comes down to this. The past made us who we are, but I don't care about it much. I don't... He frowned and turned over his left forearm, the remnant of the dark mark just an ugly raised scar. It was far redder than any other scar he had and unbearably sensitive, like a wound that no longer bled but refused to heal. He brushed his fingers over the skin, and his left hand twitched and spasmed at the uncomfortable sensation. I don't want to be held prisoner by a past that's dead and gone. All that matters to me is what happens now. Harry raised his hand to touch Draco's arm, and Draco quickly pulled it away, pressing it against his stomach.
Your turn, Draco said. Why doesn't it bother you? All the horrible shit I did to you over the years.
It was mostly just obnoxious, Harry said.
Some of it was horrible. Enough of it.
Well, same as you mostly, Harry said. Draco narrowed his eyes.
That's a cop-out and you bloody well know it.
Harry took a step closer, and Draco stepped back, the water that had been sluicing down his back hitting the back of his head and making him gasp and sputter in the spray. Draco smacked Harry's shoulder.
You fuck!
Harry laughed and ran his hands through Draco's hair, working the conditioner out.
I just feel like who you are isn't who you were, he said. You've changed, in a good way.
Draco stepped out of the way so Harry could stick his head under the shower.
But is it enough?
Draco said quietly, guilty, and was relieved when Harry pushed his hair out of his face and asked, What was that? As he turned off the water.
Nothing, really,
Draco said, stepping out of the shower and wrapping himself up in a fluffy white towel and throwing another at Harry.
We should get ready for bed. I have a train to catch in the morning.
Chapter 30. His old room. He was in his old room. Draco couldn't make out the details of the small space, but he knew. He felt it in the growing pit in his stomach. Darkness and shadows crept in. Edges of light showed edges of shelves as the shadows of the toys and figures lining them stretched over the walls like a reaching finger. And a single line of light shone under the narrow door. Something was moving. A clicking, shifting something that cast a pacing shadow. His old bed, always too narrow, was now far too big.
sinking and pulling him down in like a swamp. Draco tried to call out for his mother, but the words caught and stuck in his throat like a treacle. The shadow under the door paced back and forth. He tried to push himself back, scrambling and shoving, his legs suddenly weak and useless. He had to hide. He had to get to the back of the closet and hold his breath until it was gone. But the sheets caught around his feet and bed kept pulling him down. And Draco knew. He knew his mother couldn't save him. Something scratched at the door. The knob rattled and slowly began to turn. Everything came loose at once, and Draco moved backwards, away from the door and off the bed, and everything fell and fell and... Draco twitched awake, his heart thundering in his chest and echoing up to his head. He held perfectly still as his eyes slowly focused on the room, lit faintly by the lamps in the sitting room, reminding him that this wasn't his room. That time, it was just a nightmare. He unclenched his jaw, blinked, forced himself to relax. He pushed himself up, shivering as the cool air hit his sweat-soaked sleep shirt, and conjured a glass of water, sipping it slowly, pressing the glass against his flushed cheeks. A huff made him look down at Harry, more on Draco's pillow than the one he had started on. Harry's brow furrowed with a faint frown, and his hands, that had been loose and open, he pulled tight to his chest. Draco vanished the glass and laid back down, trying not to disturb Harry as he eased the blankets and heavy comforter back over them. Harry let out a sigh and curled in closer to him. Draco brushed the hair off Harry's forehead. He could just make out his famous scar in the dim light. Draco never understood the weight a scar could have until he carried his own scars and they were as light as a feather in comparison to Harry's. Except his were caused by bad decisions and lashing out and impossible choices and would burden Draco for the rest of his life, would make him a burden for anyone he was close to. Draco sighed and pressed his face into the pillow, willing himself to go back to sleep. He knew his thoughts were poisoned by the nightmare and how late it was, but even knowing that, he couldn't keep himself from thinking them. Draco flinched as someone pinched him, hard, on the arm. "Wake up, dum-dum," Pansy said right by his ear. Her voice took on a sing-songy tone. "If you don't, you know what will happen." Draco pulled away from her before she could cast something that would inevitably be cold, wet, and possibly slimy. He glared at her through sleep-squinted eyes. "Why the fuck are you here?" Pansy propped her elbows on the bed. "If you mean, where is your precious Potter? He's eating breakfast or something. He was trying to wake you nicely," she made a face, "when you're practically a lump of wet mud this early." Draco groaned into his pillow in agreement. "What happened to your hair?" Pansy snickered. Draco raised his head, a few fine strands of hair floating down onto his nose, loose and staticky. He tried to blow them off, and they fell right back, making his nose itch. "Harry rinsed my conditioner out too soon," he said, scratching his nose and trying to smooth his hair back. Pansy raised an eyebrow. "Showering together? You must have had fun, then." Draco felt a sloppy smile coming on and turned it into a smirk. "Quite a lot, actually." He stretched and considered pushing himself up, but found it to be far too much effort. "Trust me, I do not care," Pansy said. "And he apologized about the incident in sixth year," Draco said. Pansy looked at her hand. "No, he didn't," and held it out in front of Draco, tapping her pinky finger at the base where a thin line ringed it like the shadow of a tried ring. "I noticed it last night. I've never done heart magic before, but of course, it's not the sort of magic you do on purpose." Draco held up his own hand and found an identical line traced around his own pinky finger. Pansy idly reached out, hooking their pinkies together. "If he really had apologized, the line would disappear. That's the promise we made." Draco's brow furrowed. "But we talked about it. I could tell he felt horrid about it." "But he didn't say, 'I'm sorry,' did he?" Pansy interrupted. "I understood what he meant, and he understood what I meant, about almost cursing him back," Draco said, dropping her hand and pushing himself up. "We both don't care about what happened in the past." Pansy sat beside him on the bed. "You care, I don't. You do," Pansy shot back. You might not hold it against him, but it was an important, big, massive, horrid thing. And it matters, and the words matter, regardless of what you think.
Look.
She pulled her legs on the bed so she could face him. I thought my mother loved me no matter what I did, and it turned out she didn't. She only loved me when I did the things that she approved of.
Draco reached out to her.
Pansy,
don't. Pansy grabbed her hand with a frown. We're not talking about that. It's like,
fuck. Did your father ever tell you he loved you?
Draco swallowed.
Did he?
Yes.
Pansy narrowed her eyes.
When?
Draco grimaced, looking over at the window. When he went to prison, before he went out on raids, at the battle, when he was arrested again.
So only when he thought he might never see you again, Pansy said. What about when you were little?
He would tell me that he was proud of me and that I had done well, that I would grow up to be a great man, Draco said.
And when you came to school and didn't have the top marks in class or win the game, Pansy said.
She didn't wait for an answer. She knew.
Conditional love isn't love.
Well, not that your father doesn't love you. Hell, my mother might still love me a little somewhere in that cold, dead, shriveled fucking heart of hers, but I've lost the fucking plot.
She shook her head roughly and squeezed his hand.
Some things are too important not to be said. They need to be said because they need to be heard. And especially with you and Potter, there's no way you aren't going to fight. You absolutely have to be able to apologize to each other.
I would, but I made a promise not to, Draco said pointedly.
Yes, but your ass over tea kettle for the dumb idiot, Pansy said.
Draco didn't answer, which was already too much of an answer.
It will be fine. If he cares about you, the promise won't matter, Pansy said.
I hope so.
Pansy frowned at him.
Potter's an idiot, but he's not cruel, Draco.
Draco nodded.
I guess I could talk to him again. Properly, this time. Pansy made a face.
If I have to.
You know, I think you two might actually get along quite well, Draco said.
Pansy made a gagging noise.
Draco grinned.
Oh. He held his hands out to Pansy. And take this polish off.
Pansy took a hand, swiping her thumb over his painted nails.
You sure? It so suits you.
Draco sighed.
Yes, I'm trying to keep my head down, you know. I don't want to risk catching the eye of any assholes.
Pansy made a face.
You can give me another manicure after we graduate, Draco assured her.
Promises, promises, Pansy said, taking out her wand and removing the protective charms from the nail lacquer. Or she tried, repeatedly, and then looked up at him apologetically through her bangs.
Sorry.
Pansy! In my defense, you know better than to let me cast when I'm drunk, Pansy said.
She brandished her wand again and threw a glamour over his nails to hide the color.
In my defense, I was fairly fucking drunk myself, Draco said, his shoulders slumping.
Pansy patted his hand. The magic should weaken enough to be removed in a week or two.
Draco glared at her.
A month at the most.
Draco lunged for a pillow and smacked Pansy in the side, ignoring her swearing and threats, lifting the pillow to bean her over the head. Harry cleared his throat by the door, looking unbearably awkward.
Kipper said we have to leave in a half hour, if you wanted to eat or, you know, get changed.
Only a half hour? Draco groaned.
Pansy quickly smoothed her hair as she stood up and stepped out of pillow range.
Yes, we don't want to miss the train, do we?
Draco considered throwing the pillow at her head.
Help me fix my hair and I'll consider forgiving you.
Pansy rolled her eyes.
I would have anyway.
Draco released his weapon and hurried to get ready. Kipper stood by the main doors, ready to pull them open for the three of them to leave. Mother hugged him for the third time that morning, stepping back, smoothing his sleeves out of habit, even though his gray muggle peacoat didn't need straightening like a robe.
Make sure you write me at least once a week, she said.
I will, Draco reassured her. and speak to the headmistress if there are any difficulties. She's been very good to you considering everything," Mother went on.
"I know.
And you can always come home if things get difficult." Draco said firmly, "Everything will be fine." Mother nodded, twisting her hands together.
"I'll be back for the spring halls before you know it," Draco said.
Mother hugged him again, a brief squeeze, and then shooed him out of the door before she had to hug him again. Draco was the last one down the steps, turning back to see his mother with her hands clasped so tightly her knuckles were white. All three of the house elves were there, and bowed before closing the doors. It was a relief to see them somehow. He just knew his mother would be safe and well cared for.
"Draco," Pansy called.
Draco nodded and hurried after them, his shoes crunching on the gravel drive as they made their way down past the wards.
"It was lovely seeing you, Potter," Pansy said flatly.
Harry stared at her.
Pansy made a shooing motion.
"I was going to go back with you," Harry said, trying not to frown at her. Pansy looked slightly alarmed.
"You can't be serious."
"Why wouldn't I be?" Harry said.
"The last time you two were together in public, the headline the next day was Death Eater's Revenge, a new plot. Potter," Pansy said, all civility going out of her voice.
"What do you think is going to happen this time? Butterflies and unicorns?"
Harry looked skeptical.
"You're apparating back," Pansy said. "You and Draco can meet up back at school, preferably not in public."
"It was fine, wasn't it?" Harry said.
Pansy bristled.
"The headline came out right after we left. Who knows what people are saying?"
Harry straightened his shoulders.
"No one reads the paper."
"It's the best-selling wizarding publication in the fucking UK.
It's a fucking rag," Harry snapped back. "Only idiots believe the garbage they print."
"Newsflash, Potter, the country is full of idiots," Pansy shouted, her face starting to flush red. Harry glared at her, his jaw jumping and flexing before he turned and raised his wand with a defiant glare. Pansy was practically vibrating with rage.
"I am going to kill you," she seethed.
"It will be fine," Harry enunciated sharply, refusing to even look at her. Before Pansy could tear Harry's throat out with her bare hands, the purple monstrosity roared up, screeching to a halt right in front of them. Harry stomped up the steps, and that was that. Pansy swung around to Draco.
"Do something!"
"Like what?" Draco asked, feeling pinned between two immovable points.
"Tell him to go back by himself," Pansy said.
Draco could easily imagine that particular scenario, and it ended in shouting in anger.
"You getting on?"
the bus driver asked, looking annoyed.
"Yes."
Draco put a foot on the first step. Pansy grabbed his arm.
"One fight, or the entire world turning on you?"
"It might not," Draco said. He pressed a hand over his furrowed brow, trying to wipe the worry from his face.
"They love him. It could work out for the best.
Don't be your mother," Pansy snapped. Draco stared at Pansy. An expression of utter horror at what she had just said took over Pansy's expression.
"There are other people waiting to be picked up," the driver said.
"I'm sorry," Pansy blurted. "I shouldn't have said that."
"No, you shouldn't have,"
Draco said and climbed onto the bus, noting with relief that at least it was still empty. He pulled the coins for his and Pansy's fare out of his pocket, fumbling them into the basket, his hands shaking from adrenaline. Harry was sitting in the small love seat and patted the spot beside him. Draco shook his head and took a heavy armchair further back, ignoring Harry's hurt look.
"Miss?" the driver called.
Pansy stepped onto the bus. She pulled a pair of Muggle sunglasses from her pocket and carefully put them on, the large black plastic frames and dark brown lenses hiding her eyes along with nearly half of her face. She collapsed into a small armchair, pulling her feet up on the cushion and wrapping her arms around her knees as the bus lurched forward.
I very much hope you enjoyed this reading. If you did, be sure to check out some of the others I've done. A link to the fanfiction will be in the description. New stuff goes up every Wednesday and Friday, and sometimes in between. And if you want to see more like this, give a recommendation, feedback. You can leave a comment, you can send me an email, can DM me on Instagram. There's a lot of options. And yeah, if you like what I do and you want to see more of it consistently, you could like subscribe or follow or do whatever works for you. And yeah, have a great day, and I'll see you all in the next one. Bye! Man, oh man, is my chair creaky. See, it creaks.